Again, I want to give everyone a mazel tov on the season. Those who finish, those who are going to finish, those who will finish in the future. We're all together in this. Baruch Hashem, you should be zeicha to many, many more siyumim. We all know the Gemara in Maseches Yuma tells us that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of the worst aveiros in the Torah, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim. But the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, even though most of the Jews were keeping mitzvos. But there was sinas chinam, there was hatred among Jews, polarization, division, dissension. And it was called chinam, it was called for no reason. Now the Nitziv, there's a very, very well-known hakdama of the Nitziv to Sefer Devarim. And the Nitziv was criticized, in a sense, it's similar to the Havdol, of course. You know, when the Pope criticized Muslims for being violent, so they protested by rioting and killing and burning. How can you call us violent as they burned down a building? So in a way, you're going to hear the Havdol. I don't mean to compare it exactly, but the Nitziv criticized a certain aspect of Klal Yisrael, and it precipitated as a criticism of the Nitziv the very thing the Nitziv was criticizing. The Nitziv wrote that the sinas chinam of the Bayis Sheni, I mean, who has sinas chinam? I mean, if there's anybody I hate, I'll always have a reason. You know, you ask, why do I hate somebody? Say, oh, no reason. You know, everybody has a reason. But it must be, even if you have a reason, it's called chinam, right? That's the whole point. So the Nitziv says that the hatred in the Bayis Sheni was a sinas chinam that came from religious superiority, in which you would look at somebody and you would say, oh, he's a kal, which is the expression in Eretz Yisrael, or he's an apikairis, or the person to the right of me is a fanatic, he's too from, and the person to the left of me is too makel, is an apikoris. And each person says, it's only where I am, whoever the person is talking, wherever I am, that's the ratzon habayre. Those who are firmer than me are fanatics, those who are less than me on some level are apikorsim. And the Nitziv says, this is called sinas chinam. Now again, obviously, one is allowed to argue, debate, and even condemn certain ideas that are connected to Torah. But even when the ideas are connected to Torah, it doesn't have to be somebody's a kaifer. Somebody can be mistaken, and one can take the position that they're mistaken. But you don't call people amalek, you don't delegitimate them. The Nitziv says that is sinas chinam. Now, the Nitziv himself was sharply criticized by Gedalim of but by other Rabbanim of the door, because they thought he was being too makil on people who had deviant movements, etc. And they felt, hey, you know, people ought to be called apikorsim, etc. Some people would call the Nitziv a friend of the Haskalah, although nobody would dare call him a maskil, but at least he was called a friend of the Haskalah and the like. So what can I tell you? I mean, it's one of those things where if you don't hold of the Nitziv, which would be kind of a stupid thing, you know, you'll say, well, the Nitziv, all right, he was too modern. But the Nitziv was considered to be one of the great, great Gedolei Hador. He was the head of maybe the greatest yeshiva of modern times. You know, the past 500 years, the yeshiva of Volozhin. He was the head of the Volozhin yeshiva for 30 years, together with the man who married his granddaughter, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Rav Chaim's career began as a Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin. He went to Brisk only after Volozhin was closed down. So I think the words of the Nitziv are something we have to pay very, very close attention to. That we live in a door, we live in a time, we live in a tekufa, where because there are so many bitter battles between religious and secular, we get into a lot of name-calling. And in fact, people in B'nai Torah sometimes assume that our primary responsibility is to clearly show how where we are versus where they are, and kind of create the battle lines of we versus they. And I will be maskim to you that it is necessary in life to clarify your positions, to understand your hashkafa, to understand exactly the differences that exist between one shita and another shita, and when is a shita against the Torah, when isn't it. So that type of line drawing does have a makom in life. because it helps us understand what it is that we stand for, what it is that we should believe, how we should live our lives. Hamaskim. But the problem is that often that in that process of line drawing, it turns out that there's an implied value judgment that those other people are not good Jews, they're not good people, they're Rishonim, and I'm not even talking about Jews who are Chas V'Shalom Mechalalei Shabbos. Even then, we should think about Tinok Shenishba, we should think about all sorts of things. But we use this against people who are Shomer Shabbos, people who are Shomer Mitzvahs, people who believe in the Yud Gimel Ikrei Amuna. You know, you could live in Eretz Yisrael for many, many years and never talk to a Dati Leumi Jew. Maybe that's an exaggeration a little bit, but it's as if they're on another planet. Why are they on another planet? Because they wear a knitted yarmulke. What's wrong with a knitted yarmulke? You know, we get into all these things. And again, the same thing could be on the other side as well, the way we're perceived. We create multiple worlds when there doesn't have to be multiple worlds. And each looks at the other and says, either you're a fanatic or you're an apikoros. And what sense does that make? So again, I don't mean to say be one big happy family and not understand differences in shittos. Okay, good, one understands differences in shittos. But just as in the Gemara there are so many machloksim, in Rishonim there are machloksim, in Achronim there are machloksim, not only in Halacha, but in Yonim of Hashgafa. So different dais and different ways of looking at the world. It's not a question of one being puzzle and one being kosher. It's a question of each of them have emes, each of them have aspects of truth that one should try to appreciate. And this is what the Nitziv, this is the depth of what the Nitziv means when the Nitziv talks about the sinas chinam that was gairim, the churban of the bias, in which each person says, the way I serve Hashem is the righteous way, is the tzidkus way, and the way other people serve Hashem is worthless and useless and no good. That sinas chinam caused the churban of the Beis HaMikdash. And one shouldn't think, well, that was the sinas chinam then. Who says we have that now? Well, first of all, it's obvious we have that now, but if you say, well, just because they had it then, who says we have it? No. The Talmud Yerushalmi says a very, very important key to understanding churban. The Talmud Yerushalmi says, any generation in which the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt is guilty of the same averos that caused the churban. This Yerushalmi is a very important insight, because without the Yerushalmi, I might have thought the following. The generation of the churban, whether it's the Rishon or the Sheni, they were real bad, so they lost the Beis HaMikdash. We're not so bad, we just don't have the special merit to get it back. But it doesn't mean we're as bad as them. The Yerushalmi is telling you exactly the opposite. If we wouldn't have the identical averos, we would have the Beis HaMikdash. You don't need special merit to get the Beis HaMikdash. All you need, it's not a small thing, is to remove the averos that were gairim the churban. So if the churban was caused primarily, there are other gemaras. So again, this is not, the gemara doesn't mean to say it was the only avera. But if the primary avera that was gairim the churban is sinas chinam, and the reason why we don't have a mikdash is because any generation in which the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt is guilty of the same averas that caused the churban, it would stand to reason, logically, based on the Yerushalmi, that sinas chinam is the chisaron, is the reason we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Just a matter of logic. That was the reason of the churban. Right? So one has to understand, by the way, this also gives a person a certain desirous, because people say, how could I mourn over the Beis HaMikdash that was destroyed almost 2,000 years ago? The answer is, it was not destroyed 2,000 years ago. Every single minute it is not here, it is being redestroyed. We are destroying the Beis HaMikdash today. We are destroying it today because it could have been rebuilt today. We are destroying it. And what would a person feel if you would walk by and you would see the Beis HaMikdash be burning? Right? So that's exactly what it is. We are destroying the Beis HaMikdash. So I've said many times, and again, I apologize if I'm repeating, but in a way, I don't really apologize because I want to repeat it, that we live in a country, Baruch Hashem, we're zeichah to be in Eretz Yisrael, in which the tensions between religious and secular, and religious and religious, are very, very, very high. Tensions are very, very high. Ad kidei kach, that there are really gezeros against Klal Yisrael, which could actually hurt the whole state of Israel, in which people are learning, might be forced to go into the army, whatever it is. Forced to go. Now again, if a person wants to go into the army, that's not a bad thing, chas v'shalom, but no. But compulsion and dragging people away from a Beis Medrash, that is a bad thing. It's not, again, agav the agav, I just want to remind people, it is not serving in the army that is a bad thing. Serving the army can be a good thing. You're doing a mitzvah, you're protecting Jewish people, you're protecting Am Yisrael. We need an army. We are not entitled to say, well, we're Samech on a Nes. And a person who serves in the army deserves respect. So the notion that sometimes a religious soldier goes into a Beis Medrash and they spit upon him, that is an awful Chilul Hashem and a tremendous Aveira. So you have to understand that the basis for opposition to this compulsory draft law is not because there is something shameful for a Jewish person to be in the army. It might be the very right thing for some people, and it might be the way they serve Hashem and the way that they serve Am Yisrael. But what makes it a gezeira is that the government simply decides, you go, and chas v'shalom, there could be people whose tafkid in life is to sit in the Beis HaMedrash. And if the government is not machshev that, that could be a very bad thing. You know, even in the United States, you know, I grew up, I was in yeshiva during the Vietnam War. So the United States, even in World War II, which was a national emergency if there ever was one, it was always understood in the United States that people, rabbinical students or clerical students, whether Christian or you know, didn't go to the draft. That was the famous, was it 4F exemption on our draft card. That's why yeshivas were very, very popular in the 1960s. I'm not supporting draft dodging. Yeshivas, whatever it would be. But the United States always had a draft exam. So for the state of Israel not to be makir, that's chashivas. You know, that's a bit of a shanda. Okay. But be it as it may, there is a lot of hostility, going back to the main point. There is hostility. There is pirit. There's divisiveness. But Shlomo HaMelech, and again, I've said this many times, so forgive me for repeating, but Shlomo HaMelech tells us a very important pasuk in Mishlei. Kamayim aponim elponim kein leif ha'adam li'adam. As water reflects the face that you show the water. Right? Water reflects whatever you show it. If you smile at a pond, you'll see a smiling face smiling back at you. It'll be your own face. If you frown at the pond, you will see a frowning face frowning back at you. Again, your own face. So Shlomo HaMelech says, as water reflects the face that you show it, the heart of a human being reflects that which you show it. You hear what the pasuk is saying? You show a person kavod and respect for what they do, they will feel kavod and respect for you. You show a person disdain, bitul, that is what they will feel to you. So, I look at a chiloni, I look at a soldier, I look at a policeman, I look at a garbage man, I look at people who are not behaving according to the Derech HaTorah, and how much worse it is if I'm looking at people who behave according to the Derech, but not my Ashkafa, and I look at them with disdain, they will look at me as disdain. If I look at a soldier as Shutafo Shalamalek, then he will look at me that way as well. So, maybe this is very, very oversimplistic, because things are more complicated indeed. But it would seem that if within even our Olam of Torah, we would have appreciation and Hakaras HaTov for what people do for us, who create the infrastructure, who create the externalities that allow a Torah society to flourish in Eretz Israel. Then, Manias Daiti, based on this pasuk, I think they would also see the chashivas of Torah. To give you a little example, again, I hesitate to use this example because maybe it's a little controversial. Do you remember, was it only last year or 2 years? I don't remember anymore, when there was a massive peaceful demonstration against the compulsory draft law, 800,000 people. Was it 2 years ago already? Right, so Baruch Hashem, it was a Kiddush Hashem, there was a lot of achdus, there was no name calling, there were no insults. People were very afraid. It just shows you, unfortunately, with the Irina Sajiris, that people were really afraid that we would be involved in being Mavazeh. And Baruch Hashem, it wasn't. Baruch Hashem, it wasn't. And it was an Atzeres of Tefillah. People got together to daven. Wonderful thing. It was a big zechus to be mishtatif in such a thing. You could even make a bracha. Some people made a bracha. There's a special bracha you make when there are 600,000 Jews that are assembled. Some people made it out of Rav Adya's Levaya, Rav Yashav's Levaya, and then this was another occasion. It's amazing. We have so many recent occasions to make this bracha. But what would have been the following? What would have been if we would have added one little thing at the end? We pray, and we have Musar Shmuzim against forcing B'nai Torah to go to the army. And again, I'm in favor of not forcing B'nai Torah to go to the army. But what if we would have said at the end a tefillah for the soldiers that are in the army? Misha Berach. So we would have said, in other words, that Torah is the ikar source of Am Yisrael's Hatzalah. But we understand that we also need an army, and we want to express our gratitude to those who are doing that. What would have happened? Well, you know, who knows? I think Mashiach would have come. I think that would have been the tikkun of the sinas chinam of the generation. Ad kedei kach. Now, who knows? You know, anyone who claims to be a navi, the Gemara in Bava Basra says, is either a fool or a little child. So obviously, I don't know. But l'chol hapachas, I'm willing to say another thing, which is less, but also maybe, I don't know, and that is the gezeira would have been repealed. Because kamayim apanim apanim, we respect, we show that we're machshav what the other side is doing in the world, they're going to be machshav Torah as well. Because a Jew intrinsically, now I'm not talking about with the Arabs, I'm not talking about with that work with our friends across the street, that's a different part. I'm talking about Jew to Jew. I'm not talking about anything else. I'm not saying, say hello to a Nazi and it'll be nice to you. No, we're not talking about that, so don't ask me kashas from that. But when it comes to a Yid, in every Jew's heart, there is a desire to really come close to Hashem. But when you're disparaged and you're considered to be a nothing, so, you know, you get defensive and you get angry. If you're respected, your heart opens up. That's what would have happened. But it didn't happen because we're not always willing to have Hakaras HaTov to people who are not living the lives that we think they should live and indeed that they should live. Now, I hesitate to say this because one might say, oh, am I criticizing? No, but I just want to say, though, that Baruch Hashem, I have a Tana de Messiahli. I have a source of Gershon Edelstein, one of the Rosh Yeshiva at Panovich. Actually, now he's come out the senior Rosh Yeshiva at Panovich. Gave a shmus to the Talmidim in Panovich. He's one of the Gedolei Hador, where he did make the same point. And what was funny is I saw a little bit of a video. The Talmidim didn't understand what he was saying. I mean, this is like, they didn't understand. They didn't compute. I mean, be nice to a chayal, say hello to a chayal, appreciate a chayal. They didn't understand. They were hearing like words for the first time that they never heard before. Okay? Well, because I repeat it, you actually probably heard it more times than they did. But this is a big, big mafteach. We are so... And again, it is necessary to draw lines because we do have to understand the hashkafa of our mesorah. So I'm not suggesting an amorphous, you know, I'm okay, you're okay, you know, gay marriage is fine, and abortion. You know, obviously a person has to know their hashgacha. But at the same time, there can be a hakaras tov. I mean, there's no reason why I should not feel grateful to even a non-religious soldier who is defending Eretz Yisrael, who is risking his life, who is working to build a medina, or people who do the telephone company, people who do whatever it is. Well, maybe the telephone company that won't be grateful for it, but okay. You know, that's the thing. So when a person becomes, when a person has a lack of hakaras tov, a lack of appreciation, a lack of care, then their whole avodas Hashem is going to be tainted with sinas chinam. You know, there. You know, those of you that were zeichet to meet Rav Stein, I don't know, has everyone here, anyone here, everyone here, have you met Rav Stein? Because they sometimes take, when the mentors are here, they take the JLE to Bnei Brak, so they meet Rav Stein. So you were there? Okay. Okay, so... You know, Rav Steinman is the, one of our great Gaonim, but Rav Steinman is the softest of people, the gentlest of people, the kind, you know, the kind, very kind person, you know, will speak to a five-year-old, you know. So, I saw, you're going to sound like I'm seeing videos of him, but I saw another partial video where he was screaming and yelling and ranting, and you think, what is going on here? Here's what happened. There was a cheder, a yeshiva katan in Bnei Brak, and it was established by very, very chashuva avreichim, you know, younger light who wanted. Imagine in Bnei Brak they wanted a frumer type of cheder. I don't know exactly how frumer you get. Bnei Brak cheder wasn't good enough. They wanted something, you know, ultra. So he said, okay, you want that? That's fine. So they mentioned that there was a widow, an almana, who had a child. She wanted to go to the cheder. She was totally from. She was totally from. But based on the ultra, whatever it was, I didn't say what the issue was, the ultra, they felt she was a little too modern for our cheder. So the avreichim who ran the cheder decided that the child shouldn't go in, because it wasn't quite the type of homes that we wanted. So he started screaming and yelling, and he said, where should she send your kids? To the moon? Says, you don't care? So the people said, well, this was a decision of very chashuva people. He says, they're balei gaiva. He says, they're very chashuva people. They're chashuva balei gaiva. And he went on. And then he went back. You know, Rav Steinman himself, I don't know if you know this, grew up in Brisk. He was born in Brisk. So he was younger than the Brisker Rav, but he remembers the Brisker Rav as an older... Not as the Rav of Brisk. Remember, the Brisk Rav was like, you know, an older teenager when Rav Steinman was 8. The Brisk Rav was 14, something like that. So he says that in Brisk, the Brisk Rav himself went to a cheder. These non-religious kids. They went in. There was no concept. You make a separate cheder so you shouldn't be contagious. You shouldn't catch a disease from another Jew. Yeah, you have to be careful. You have to have boundaries, of course. But this notion that if somebody is 1 millimeter different in my hashgacha, I cannot be in the same school with them. This is Rav Steinman. This is not me. Rav Steinman said this was a very, very big avla, and this came from gaiva, and this would not generate true avodas Hashem and true connection to Hashem. It just becomes an ego thing. Yeah, this is what he said, an ego thing in which I'm better than you because I have, you know, I have this ultra cheder. And again, anyone that was over to Rav Steinman knows for Rav Steinman to raise his voice is almost, it never happens. It never happens. But this was the one time that it did happen, that he raised his voice. He called them Balei Gaiva. Because this is really Sinas Chinam. This is Sinas Chinam, he says. This is a very complicated issue, as a matter of fact, because, okay, I understand maybe if you're doing ultra, so you don't exclude an ultra that's not three ultras, okay. But at some point, you know, there may be a situation where something is not matim, and then you have to figure it out, you know. So it's not a pushing. In the United States, this happens a lot. In the United States, communities often only have one day school, and the day school will have people who are both from yeshivish families, then very modern Orthodox families, and then even what you call conservadox families, families that are not even totally Shomer Mitzvahs, but they want a more traditional chinuch. So often what happens is, in some of these communities, the yeshiva people want to break away, and they want to establish like a yeshiva-only type of school, so their kids should not intermingle. I hear, but on the other hand, think about it this way, there's also an achrayas for the other kids, meaning if you're taking the most religious kids out of a school, then in a sense, those that are in the school are also going to suffer a lot, right? So these are very difficult shailas that you have to give to a gadol. But the attitude should not be that, you know, if I see a non-religious person or a less religious person, I'm going to get contaminated. If I machshir them and I respect them, that's going to be a very, very good thing, because they're going to be machshir Torah as well. Okay, and this is what you think about when we're in the period of sinas chinam, and we want to be mesakeh the korban and the galus. We want to be zeicher to the Beis Hamikdash. Yeah.
Should we apply the same attitude towards leaders of anti-religious philosophies, or how does it work when you're dealing with?
No, so you are correct. I mean, you do have to differentiate between movements and people. You know, even leaders, the truth of the matter is, you know, a reform rabbi, a leader, you know, he knows about as much Torah as a seventh grader in Yerushalayim. Maybe. At best, if he was a valedictorian of his class, he knows what a seventh grader knows. Most reform rabbis are Tino Shanishbas. Forget about the congregants themselves. But even then, you know, I will tell you, I know personally, in the United States, you know, great Talmidei Chachamim who have personal relationships with reform rabbis. They learn with them. Habrusa, they learn Gemara or whatever, Chumash. And it pays off in the sense that the hostilities are reduced. And the reform rabbi, listen, he doesn't always become a Baal Tshuva, but he makes even the reform environment closer to Torah than would otherwise be the case. Meaning, there are ripple effects in which things get better. So period and separation are really not the solutions, and sometimes they come from gaiva rather than a true desire to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, so this is something to think about. And the truth of the matter is, though, in Eretz Yisrael, this is Gufa, has been a machlokas. I mean, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer, they were gedolim that tended to stress more coming together and connecting different groups. Now Rav Asher Weiss, if you've heard of him, is that way as well. Others feel that the sakane is so great, and we have to respect that too, you know, that the sakane is so great that you've got to create walls of separation. But even if you do that, you don't create it with happiness. You create it with sadness. You know, Nebuch, I have to separate my kids. You know, there was a story, this is a true story. You know, there was a kindergarten, a gun, across the street. So there was a gun somewhere in Yerushalayim, I don't remember where, and next to it was either a public school gun or maybe just a Dati Liumi gun. I don't remember. And two different schools, two different kindergartens, one was Haredi, one was either public or Dati Liumi. But through the fence, the kids were able to talk. How you doing? Or if a ball got knocked over, they throw it back. So they put a tarp, a heavy black tarp, over the fence so that there could be no communication from one side to the other. Because we don't want, it's like rabies, I don't know what it is, smallpox, that chas v'shalom, there would be any conversation. And I believe it was not even an issue of tznias, because it was, both of them were boys' schools, it wasn't an issue of, you know, Lubush they would never put a Haredi gun next to a girl's school. That would never happen anyway. And properly so. But these were two boys' kindergartens. We gotta make a wall. So, if we ask the Kasha, you know, why do we still have a Chorban? So Baruch Hashem, we have some terutza, so to speak, why we still have a Chorban. We can look at as mice like this, right? So one has to think about it. Again, I feel bad in a sense because the goal should not be to criticize other people. The goal should be, because then I'm guilty of the same thing. But the goal should be to look in our own lives what we can do. You know, in that sense, I guess some of you guys are going back to your families for Bein Hazmanim. Some will, I guess, be here and some will go back. And if you think about it, going back to your families is an ideal way, in some ways, to put this into practice. Probably for many people, the environment that you'll be going back to, whether it's the city or whatever it is, and certainly the family, is not going to be as intensely religious as the yeshiva world. Certainly not going to be Yerushalayim, unless you live in Yerushalayim. It's not going to be in Yerushalayim, obviously. The family may not be totally observant. And all yeshiva students, you know, we come back. Listen, even if you have a front family, you know, one of the perennial sources of conflict is the yeshiva bachur that's firmer than even his Orthodox parents will come home. You know, mom and dad, you know, the kiddush cup isn't big enough, and and this is an old issue. But certainly, if the parents are not religious, you know, there are going to be these conflicts. And you have a difficult avodah, because on one hand, you have to keep halacha. There's no heter. For example, I could violate kashrus because I don't want to make my parents upset. You know, there are going to be decisions that you have to make. But one has to know that you are obligated to make decisions in such a way that you're keeping halacha, but at the same time, you're showing respect to your parents, number one, because of kibud aviyim, number two, because of Avos Yisrael generally. And number three, because of the great, great mitzvah to make the name of God beloved. Gemara in Yuma says on the pasuk, "V'ahavta et Hashem alekecha," you shall love Hashem. The Gemara in Yuma darshans, you have to make the name of Hashem beloved in the eyes of others. You know that Gemara? Meaning, somebody should look at you and say, if this is a Torah Jew, if this is a religious Jew, that's a good thing. Maybe they'll become from, maybe they won't. The Gemara doesn't say that, you know, they're going to become from. But they look at you. Now, here's the thing. Your parents may or may not appreciate that you learned 100 blot of Gemara this year. Maybe they will. I hope that they will. But if they see a person that is considerate, that is a person of manners, of refinement, of derech eretz, and they say, person goes to yeshiva and comes back that way. Of course, you probably were that way beforehand too, but at least you didn't get worse. And hopefully you even got better. Then they're going to say, maybe this yeshiva thing isn't as crazy as I thought it was. You see? And in a way, even from a selfish perspective, this is going to help you enormously. Because, you know, it'll let you stay longer in Torah, you know, your family will help you out more because they see these types of benefits. But you're not just doing it for selfish reasons. You're doing it because you have a mission to make Hashem's name beloved in the world. And the way you make Hashem's name beloved in the world is by the menschlichkeit that you exhibit in these environments. See, so there's so many good things here that you have the opportunity to do. Now, it is a Nisayan, because once again, you're not supposed to compromise. Right? You don't say, let's go to the movies on Shabbos because, you know, mom and dad really want to go. There are going to be a lot of things that you got to say you can't do. But it has to be done in the context of derech eretz and respect. And then we have Shlomo HaMelech Savtacha to go back to that whole point. That the way you deal with them, with anybody, is the way they're going to look at you. So Bein Hazmanim could be a very, very big test as to what did you really, really gain from your Torah learning. On one hand, you finished 100 blots or whatever, or Maseches, Echsbrachas, not 100 blot, but up there. Samach Beis is 63 blot. Great, great accomplishment. It's a great accomplishment. But you know, Rabbi Shlomo Salanter once remarked somebody said to him about a certain chassan. This chassan has gone through Shas several times. So Rabbi Sosalantra said to Rabbi Spandin, how many times did Shas go through him? He went through Shas. Did the Shas go through him? Part of the test is, we've gone through the Gemara, but has the Gemara gone through us? Has it changed us? Has it elevated us? And remember that before Mashiach comes, we have Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi is the one that will announce the coming of Mashiach. And what does the last verses, the last Navi was at the time of the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. The last Navi is Malachi. According to Chazal, Malachi is another name of Ezra. So Ezra was both the Navi and the one who actively built up the Anshei Knesset HaGdol at the time of the Bayis Sheni. And Malachi's last words, I know this because it happened to be my Haftorah, it's the Haftorah of Shabbos HaGadol, the Shabbos before Pesach, is, and some people sing this Pasuk every Malav HaMalka, because it's Malav HaMalka, it's like Eliyahu HaNavi coming, V'heshiv leiv avais al banim, v'leiv banim al avaisam. He will return the heart of the fathers to the children, and the children to the fathers. And Rashi explains, he will return the heart of the fathers to Hashem through the children. That there will come a time, the Pasuk is saying, where parents might be rachok from Hashem. But through the children, the parents will come back to Hashem as well. And then vice versa. The parents will bring their children back. So, this is mamish the kiyum of our tekufa, where so many younger come back to Hashem. They could bring back the older. But you don't bring back the older by making speeches. Can't do that. You don't bring back the older by being holier than thou. You don't bring back the older by disparaging. But by love and by gratitude, by menschlichkeit, that can bring a person back. That can very definitely bring a person back. And that is the Avaidah Hashem of Ben Asmanim, right? That is what you do, Ben Asmanim. And that is really the Avaidah of Yashiv, as that's all actually said. That the primary Avaidah of our door is to make the name of Hashem beloved. I don't know why, since Rebel Yashiv is quoted on every conceivable subject, he doesn't seem to be quoted much on that one. I don't know why, but he said that one too. He said the primary Avaidah of our door is to make the name of Hashem beloved. This is what he said. And what can we say? The Gadol HaDor told us this. Something that we should be makabal. We should live by. So B'ezras Hashem, I hope that all of us could be mechazek ourselves in these inyonim. To be mesaken the sinas chinam that exists in Klal Yisrael. By that way, be zoicha to the emistika geula, the binyan beis hamikdash. And hopefully, you know, there's still a chance. Is there a chance? Maybe not. I was saying maybe the Tisha B'Av might be canceled this year. I think we're beyond the, Mashiach can come right now. In other words, Mashiach does not come on Erev Shabbos. And Mashiach does not come on Shabbos. So when is Shkia? So we have another hour or so. Mashiach can come in this hour, but once it's going to be sunset, so unfortunately we've missed it for Friday and for Shabbos. Could Mashiach come on Tisha B'Av Gufa? No reason why not. I don't know. But Amir Hashem, whatever it is, if we're not Zeicha to the Geula this year, may this be the last Tisha B'Av of Tsar and Avelis, and may any future ninth of Av be a day, as the Navi Zechariah said, of Sasa and Yusimcha. Okay, so I'm going to take care of it. So, yeah. So there might be a little bit of, yeah.